Thank you for the word of God this morning. We believe that the entrance of your word gives us light, illumination. It helps us to see, to comprehend, to understand, and that turns into power. Power, wonder-working power. In the name of Jesus, through the blood of Jesus, we just thank you for it now. We thank you for this precious word that we have in our hands and that we can put in our heart. In Jesus' name I pray. And anyone who agreed said,
amen.
Amen. All right, Wednesday night, we started a simple message from Proverbs called Choosing the Path of the Righteous. So I guess I could say this is part two of Choosing the Path of the Righteous. So right away, I think of probably the most famous psalm, the 23rd Psalm. He leads us in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And so I, as a Christian, I don't shrink. I'm not timid. I'm not afraid to choose the path of righteousness in my life, in your life, in our lives. Our objective on a consistent basis. Consistency in Christianity is fruit, it's faith, it's diligence, it's stick-to-itiveness, it's all those things. But I want to choose the path of righteousness. There's always a V or a Y in the road where you have options. There's always options to say no, to make different choices, to not choose to choose life, choose Christ, choose love, choose his favor, his goodness, his mercy, his grace, or the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And therefore, I'm making choices continually all of us, you know, stuff kind of comes on you from the world. I mean, you can just walk through some of these streets and all of a sudden, you know, you just go, whoa. And you just kind of just have to shrug them off. And you have to shake them off. And it's not weird. It's not some imaginary thing. But if you accept that the spiritual realm is more real than the natural realm, that's hard. That was hard for me. How can that be that the spiritual realm is more real than the natural realm? But the spiritual realm made the natural. God is a spirit. They that worship him must worship him in spirit. And that spirit made the tangible. He spoke and the tangible came into existence, and the development over time is where we're at now. But time is running short. Time is running out. God has declared, make your choices. Get on, get in while the getting's in, because there's a time coming. We know there's a time coming. We don't dispute what the Bible tells us. We don't dispute what most of the book of Revelation is about. Who that calls themselves a Christian argues with the Bible? Why would you argue with the Bible? The Bible is truth. The Bible is God's word. It is written. Jesus didn't, most of the time he said, it is written. He spoke life. He spoke declaration. He is God. He could call things which be not as though they were. He could call into manifestation. He could call 10,000 angels if he wanted to. So we want to choose life. We want to choose to believe. We want to choose to walk in the Spirit every day. Not just come to church, be pious, you know, and you know, be, you know, kind of quiet and real reserved, you know. No, man, just rejoice in the Lord. Lift your hands. Shout to the Lord, shout to the Lord, all the earth. That's a great song. Shout to the Lord, all the earth. So, you know, some people go, well, I'm not that way. I'm not really that, we grow into expression. We grow into courage. The Bible says that we are strengthened. Hey, there's a new baby in the house.
Yeah.
Hi, Kira. Hey, the Bible says we are strengthened with might by his Spirit in our inner man. That means that if I allow my spirit to gain ascendancy, usually our flesh dominates and then our mind dominates. And so you've got flesh, you've got mind, and those things like to call the shots in your life. But there's a third person or a third part of you that's called the Spirit. And God wants the Spirit to take authority over the flesh and the mind and to bring our thoughts captive to the obedience of Christ. I don't just let my mind think anything it wants. No, I cast down imaginations. I bring my thoughts captive to the obedience of Christ. Apostle Paul says, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God and bringing into captivity all my thoughts for what? To obey God. Now, my mind isn't a toilet bowl. Now, my mind isn't the devil's playground. Now, my mind isn't a sewer. Now, my mind isn't a place that anything and everything can enter in. No, because I control my mind. My spirit, if I put some diligence in to my Christianity, my spirit begins to rise and take ascendancy over my mind and my flesh. My flesh, shut up. What do you do when your flesh is craving? Shut up. Or you give in to it and you drool and you drip and you're embarrassed, right? I don't think anybody in here and anybody watching, welcome to those who are watching, you don't drool and drip, but that's the way it feels when your spirit is telling you to live disciplined. Nobody likes that, but the point is to bring yourself in from doing anything over there and doing anything over there and doing anything back there and doing anything out there, but we're controlling ourselves. We're using the power of God and the power of His Word and the Holy Spirit on the inside, all coupled together to make us strong in the Lord and the power of His might to put on the whole armor of God. It's so important, Christians, that you know what the whole armor of God is. There's a helmet of salvation. There's a breastplate of righteousness. There are feet are shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Our loins are girded about with truth. We have on the breastplate of righteousness. We take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. We have the shield of faith wherewith we're able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And we, having done all to stand, we stand now. We stand with the armor on, with the weaponry, with shields and swords and the ability. And, you know, a lot of times those soldiers had a dagger tucked into their belt, you know. They had this dagger so that if by chance your shield got knocked out of your hand or your sword got knocked out of your hand, you still got that dagger. And that dagger to me is those little Bibles, you know, those little pocket Bibles, you know, and just in case, you know, I'm not ashamed to carry my Bible around, you know. I don't care if anybody sees me with a Bible. Hey, if you haven't crossed that road yet, crossed that bridge, got over, you hide your Bible so that nobody sees you carrying a Bible. I remember those days. We all got to get past it. You got to grow up and just get over that ashamed. That's being ashamed. I'm ashamed of the Bible because I don't want people to think I'm a religious fanatic that carries my Bible on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, or Saturday. Maybe Sunday it's okay. It's okay for people to see that you have a Bible, but then some people just hide it in their briefcase or purse anyway. But the point is we got to get over being ashamed of the gospel. We got to get over being ashamed of Jesus. We don't want to be like, you know, where Peter is in the Garden of Gethsemane, or where Peter is standing there and he denies Jesus, his best friend. Peter, and best friend with Jesus right now in heaven. Peter's got authority. He's got position. He's got, Jesus forgave him. That's what's so cool about forgiveness, is that when Jesus forgives you, it's forgiven. It's gone. And we can be restored. Restoration. Somebody, I hear it right now. Somebody needs restoration. You're out there. We won't get into details, but you need restoration. If I confess my sin, if you confess your sin, He is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. As far as the east is from the east is that way, west is that way. As far as the east is from the west, He said He'd remember our sin no more. And so, man, that's the only way I know to deal with sin. I'm not collecting piles of junk in my life. I walk in forgiveness. I walk in truth. I'm washed in the blood of Christ. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things are new. I'm not going to let that pile continue to grow. Do I make mistakes? I make mistakes. Do I say stupid? I say stupid. Do I do stupid things? Of course we do. All of us do. We're all growing. But praise God that we can walk out. We can walk in the path of the just as a shining light that shines more and more unto the perfect day. That perfect day is when we get our glorified body. I don't know if anybody in here, I know some of us in our discussions in our groups, we talk about deep stuff like that. You know, glorified bodies. What does that entail? How do you comprehend? You can't really comprehend that, but the fact that, you know, we will get a body that never gets sick, never dies, just, you probably don't even need food. You can eat food if you want to. I mean, heaven has food. Heaven has pretty much anything you want. It's good, of course. But I don't think you have to eat food for fuel. I think you got supernatural fuel. You got the power of God as your fuel. Somebody needs to think about heaven once in a while so that we're not so earthly minded that we're no heavenly good or whatever, how that terminology goes. All right. So we're talking about choosing the right path of the righteous. And we accept the privilege of being called the righteousness of God in Christ. We are saints. We are Christians. We are born again. We are washed in his blood. And we are cleansed from unrighteousness. And I challenge every person here and every person watching that you need to start acknowledging those things, because what they'll do is they will supersede. They will supersede failure. They'll supersede carnality. They'll supersede doubt, unbelief, fear, worry, fret, concerns. Those, when we put those in our heart and start recognizing who we are in Christ, then they overwhelm the simple things of this world. Carnality in the world cannot touch the spiritual power that is in us when we are people of the word, when we're doers of the word, and when we put the word of God in us. So for us as Christians, our light is getting lighter, and for them, darkness is getting darker. And no Christian here or watching should ever let your darkness get darker. It should always be a progression upward. You must make that choice as a Christian, because if you don't, if you allow yourself to progress downward into darkness, there's no guarantee that you won't deny Jesus at some point. So we're not going to allow that to happen. We're going to stand our ground. All right, so the path of the just, what does the path of the just mean? It shines more and more under that perfect day. I get to use one of my favorite subjects to explain this. And if you walk in, I'll be watching videos of airplanes, giants, A380s, 747s, 787, whatever, all those beautiful big jets. I love them. I love the sound of them. I like when they spool up at the end of the runway. They kind of just crawl up to the runway and they go, ooh, and then the power just rises and those powerful jets take off and all those tons and tons and tons of weight just float right up into the sky. And then what do? Next one. And you watch it again. Next one, and you watch it again. Somebody's going, how boring is that? Not for me. I could sit at an airport for days, bring a lunch, go out to the Wisconsin thing that they have, and sit there for days watching airplanes take off and land. But that's me. But an example are the runway lights in the airport. All right. So when that airplane is pulling up, the controller will turn on the runway light for you. And so you're not wondering where you're supposed to go because those other lights are not turned on, but the light for your path is turned on. Okay. So that, we've got a flight attendant back there. You know all this, so I'm not teaching you anything at all. But anyways, well, as that plane is slowly creeping up to get in line to take off, they've got a runway light that the controller has turned on for them. And so even in bad weather or darkness or whatever, when that plane leaves and you're fully loaded and they back out of the dock and they start going out to where the runway is, there's a light that's lit up for them. And so basically their path is defined for them. All right. So, these These big jets are called heavies. So that's a short term for them. They're heavies, the biggest planes at the airport. And so when the airplane takes off, most airports turn on those runway lights to illuminate your specific runway to take off from. I know I just said that. Each runway has a lane, and the light will turn on to make sure that you're lined up on the correct runway. Okay, problems have happened when planes don't get on the right runway. But not just the runway. Even the approach lanes have lights guiding you to take off or turn where you're supposed to. Total clarity must supersede confusion to avoid even minor mistakes and, of course, disasters. That's a drag. Okay, so you listen. I'm going to just tell you this because somebody needs to hear this. You will listen to the control tower. The control tower sits high above and sees all the activity of the runways in the entire airport. Transponders light up, telling the controller where you are at all times. He can watch you on his screen as you approach your takeoff spot. Transponders light up, telling the controller where you are. He guides you through airport traffic and tells you to assure you that you are in the right place on the correct runway and not in danger of being in the wrong place. All right, that is an example of the Holy Spirit's help in our life. We have someone in the control tower, and we have access to hear and know the direction that I'm supposed to take. When those giant A380s or 747s or 787s, when they creep up and they make those turns, you know, so that they watch that line that's down underneath their front wheels and they see it on their screen, they're staying right on that path because there is direction and clarity. I don't have to look out to my far wing out here and wonder if I'm going to crash into anything, and I don't have to look all the way out here to see if I'm going to crash into anything because I'm following the line of direction and there's a path that is directly lit up for me to go in. Why am I telling you this? Because I love airplanes. No, because the path of the just gets brighter and brighter. And so when you admit that you're a Christian and you begin to walk with God and walk in the Spirit, and you begin to deny the flesh, and you begin to deny the world, and you begin to deny your old self, and you begin to walk in the Spirit, the controller, God Himself, He lights up that path for you. And when you're not at an airport where you're not sure exactly of how to do it, I suppose if you've been at Minneapolis St. Paul Airport, you got it all down now and you can move a little quicker than somebody else. But when you're in one of those airports, you're just creeping along with that giant plane because I don't want to bump anything. I don't want to hurt this plane. This plane costs billions of dollars. I'm responsible for it. So I've got this little TV in front of me, and right there is my front tires, and my front tires are on this line, and I'm going to creep along on that line to make sure that I am following the path that is defined for me to follow. And if I do, there's no problem with the wingtips. There's no problem with the tail. I'm not going to hit anything because that tail is 2-3 stories high, and this jet is incredibly big. No, because the path is clearly defined for me. I'm telling you, my brothers and sisters in Christ, that the Bible says that Christ lays out a path for you, that the Holy Spirit will continue to be that person that's up in the control tower that is guiding you to your point of destination of takeoff. And now what we do is, hey, I've rolled through this airport maybe that I'm not familiar with, and I've followed these lines, and I'm listening to the air traffic controller, and now I'm getting close to the runway, and there are airplanes in front of me, and I'm waiting my turn. But boy, when it comes, I'm going to take that giant jet and I'm going to turn onto that runway, and that light is going to light up right down the center of the runway. That light's going to turn on. And I know I'm not going right and I'm not going left. I'm going straight down the middle because that's the path that has been defined for me. So now let's put that in terms of Christianity. If you want to believe it, the Holy Spirit in your life has been given to you to be the air traffic controller in your life. And if you want, I don't want, when I'm responsible for that giant A380, I do not want to make a wrong turn not once because of the people on board, hundreds and hundreds of people on that giant plane, and that giant plane and the value of that thing. I want to do exactly what I'm supposed to do so I don't make mistakes that cost money or cost people their lives or do something stupid. I want to make sure that I'm walking the path. Now, in your Christianity, it's not that rigid. But God wants you to be a doer of the word. What if I want to be a doer of the word and I know clearly what the Bible tells me to do and I choose not to do it? Does that mean you're fried? No. This means you got to go back and get it right and eventually surrender. Eventually allow the air traffic controller to guide you to the path of the runway. And then your life, when you put that throttle down, that's one of the coolest feelings there is in life, for me anyway. You sit back in your seat and whoa, that's power. And you're beginning to take off. And all of a sudden, that giant 100-ton, however much it weighs, giant A380 lifts off because the law of lift supersedes the law of gravity. And you're flying. And so if we can take some parallels to Christianity and understand that when I work within the framework of what God wants for my life, it's called surrender. How do you know what God wants for your life? Well, you surrender and you learn and you listen. Okay, so surrender first means that I'm becoming, rather than self-centered, everything's about me. All of a sudden I'm going, what do you want, Lord? What's next, Lord? How do I do this, Lord? And pretty soon that's Christianity that's developing and it works. And, you know, a lot of times we make mistakes, we bump our head, we stub our toe, but praise God, Christianity works. But the ultimate prize is going to heaven. I hear a little baby in the room. Hallelujah. Little baby. That's my granddaughter's bambino. So I'm first time I got to see him. Praise God. All right, so going back to this point here is total clarity must supersede confusion to avoid minor mistakes and disasters. Clarity. How do you get clarity in your Christianity? First word that comes to my mind is listen. It's to listen, to try and learn to listen to your inside, to listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit. Somebody's calling me from heaven. Hello? Clarity must supersede confusion to avoid minor mistakes. Man, if you think about, and again, please, just cut me some slack here, because you realize how many airports there are, giant airports in the world, how many giant airplanes are in the air, how many planes there are, and how few, how little trouble there is. The success rate is amazingly amazing. Success. They take off, they land. You hear about trouble periodically, but if you count the number of flights every single day, you know, I'm applying this to our lives. How many lives are Christians that are depending upon our air traffic controller to lead and guide us and show us what path to take, when to take off, when to land, where to go, how to do it, reading our instruments, just all of this. It's not bondage. It's never bondage. It's my freedom. I have the freedom to choose the path of my life, and I know where I'm going when I die. And working backwards from that, I'm going to live my life that will honor God and make choices that honor Him. And I'm going to turn my back on myself. I'm going to turn my back on my old way of living. I'm going to make good choices, and I'm going to make choices for the kingdom of God, because I believe in eternity and I believe in reward, and I believe that God honors and rewards people that are faithful and diligent, and they stick to it, and they're not half in and half out. Hey, when you hit the throttle on that runway, you know, and the throttle of the jet, that 747 or that A380, man, when that thing spools up, I mean, you are incredible power is going. And we need to just absolutely trust the power of God. We need to trust his word. The key to success as a Christian is to trust his word, to find scriptures. The fastest way, here's the fastest way for a young person, young Christian, maybe somebody's wanting to be saved, but they don't know if they want to be in church and they want to do the Bible and all that stuff. Read Proverbs. Start there because they're one-liners. There is one line you could find that will give you direction for your life today or tomorrow. Tomorrow morning, if you got up and you said, God, I need direction, go to Proverbs and start reading the one-liners. And I believe that you will find a one-liner that will guide you and help you make a decision that you need to make in that day that is tomorrow. And then what do you do? You begin to make a pattern. You begin to do it over and over. You know, here I go again, but because I just love this, but they can't do what they want. A pilot can't do what he wants and just, I don't want to stand in line with 10 airplanes taking off. I'm going to just go around them and cut to the front of the line. You can't do what you want in life. You can't go to work tomorrow and just say, screw you, boss. I'm going to do what I want. I don't care what you say. You can't do that. You get fired right away. Life has boundaries. Life has choices. And Christianity is a choice. Christianity is a continuing choice. Every single day I choose that I'm going to serve Christ. Every day I say, hey, you know, do I say it out loud? But I say it in my spirit. I say it in my mind. Maybe I say it in my actions. But every single day, you know how I say it? Here's how I say it. I just thought of that. I get up and get in the Word. Every day I bow my head. Talk to Jesus. Talk to the Father. Talk to the Holy Spirit. Every day I read my Bible. Every day I'm looking for the air traffic controller to give me clearance. I need clearance to take off. I need clearance to, for me, there are some of you that are brilliant. Some of you in here and some of you, well, you're brilliant. You're highly intelligent. You make good choices. You make good decisions. You're good at it. Some of us aren't. We need help. It's easy for me to go to the hardware store to find a part I need and find myself in an aisle that I shouldn't be in just looking at stuff because they're like toys sometimes. Big kids' toys. Distractions of life. Christianity is gaining yourself back from the distractions and bringing yourself back to the path. The path of the just, the path of the righteous, the path of a believer, the path of a Christian, the path of a person that is born again, has accepted Christ as their Savior, and now they've chosen a new life, a new direction. Now, old things pass away. Behold, all things are new. All these choices are new. And you, dare I say you're graded? Of course you're graded. Because there are rewards involved. And if you're graded at a high level, there are high rewards. If God can trust you here and it's a test, why don't you just think about it? This is a test to see what happens to me in eternity. It's a test. What's my response? Pass the test. Every second, every minute, every hour, every day, every year, every month, pass the test. From now till Jesus comes back, I'm passing the test. I'm living my life. I'm making good choices. I'm going to do what God wants me to do. It's a, okay, why would I, when I can, you know, I love baseball. I love football. And right now I love hockey more than all of them. Okay, over to St. Paul for the Wild tonight, right? Colorado. I would do that stuff every minute. I would do that sports. I'd have it on all the time. I'd go all the time. I'd spend my money on it. I'd do all the time. I love it. I grew up sports. I love it. But I don't do it because I put God first place, even over my passion right now for the Minnesota Wild. Vikings, I love the Vikings, but when they're not that great, and then I kind of back off and wait for him to get good again. And I've kind of, and somebody loves basketball. I'm, you know, playing basketball for me. It's just they're taller than me. They just stood there and they would knock the ball down when I would shoot. And so, forget this, man. Everybody's taller than me. I'm going to play baseball. I'm going to play hockey. I'm going to play football. And I did. And basketball was not my game. Point being is that we have things we do love. Everybody has something you love, and it's okay to love things. You just can't love the world more than you love God. You can't love the things of this world more than the things of God. You can't love staying home more than coming to church. And brothers and sisters, you got to learn to love the Bible. And one of the ways to learn to love the Bible is to live in Psalms and Proverbs until your love for God and your love for the Word grows. Because everybody can handle a one-liner, and Proverbs are one-liners. And then you can grow into, you know, four or five verses, which are Psalms. They're only four or five verses long. Some are longer, but I can do that. I can look at one-liners, I can look at few verses, and pretty soon I go to the New Testament and I can start learning about Jesus Christ in the Gospels, and then I can listen to the Apostle Paul teach me how to be born again and how to live my life for Christ, and then I can go to the book of Revelation and I can look at promises of eternity and see what's going to happen in the last 7 years that are approaching very soon. The last 7 years that are approaching very soon, they're called the tribulation. The Bible talks about the tribulation. The Bible also says that the dead in Christ shall rise first, but they that which are alive and remain shall be caught up together to meet the Lord in the air. That means that Christians who are either alive right now or have passed away will be caught up together to meet the Lord in the air and forever be with the Lord. Okay, so that's our blessed hope, that you and I, it could happen at any second, we disappear. Boom. And if we disappeared and you're still here, you better evaluate, man. You better evaluate, because you got 7 years ahead that you got to figure this thing out. But if I profess Christ as my Savior and I've received Jesus as my Lord and Savior into my heart and I've been born again, then I don't worry about when Christ comes to get us. The Bible says the Lord shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the archangel of God, with the trumpet of God. The trumpet of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise first, and we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them to meet the Lord in the air. The Lord's going to come off his throne in heaven. He's at the right hand of the Father right now, and Father's going to say, go get my family. And the Lord's going to say, yes, sir, Father. And he's going to get up, and he's going to come down, and he's going to come in the air, and there's going to be a trumpet blast, and the Lord shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first, and we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them to meet the Lord in the air. And then it says, so shall we be with him forever. From that point on, eternity has begun. From the moment, you could say eternity has begun right now, but we still see a lot of natural things happening for us in our lives and what we're doing in church and things we're singing about and praying about and studying about. But then when Jesus takes us, that is the beginning of the eternal realm. This world is over. And when that happens and you're still here, that means you didn't get to go because you didn't make choices that to identify yourself with the body of Christ, with the kingdom of God, with Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. You might have went to church. You might have had religion. You might have been a good person. You might have done all those things, but you never accepted Christ as your Savior. And when he comes, he's coming for his own. And when he sees you and you didn't accept him as God, that's the simplest answer. Accept him as God. So that when God comes down in the air, you accepted him as God and you're part of God and now you're going with God. and eternity heavens. Hallelujah. Somebody said hallelujah. But unfortunately, we know what the Bible tells us in the book of Revelation. We know what the Apostle Paul told us, that the dead in Christ shall rise first. The graves will open. People will be joined with their bodies and they'll be taken up. And then boom, the clock begins to tick. Does it tick instantly 7 years? No, because there are things that happen if they progress up to it. But for the most part, if you look around the world's going to freak out. But you know what's going to happen? Somebody's going to rise up and say, hey, calm down, calm down. I know what happened. They took those bums out of here. They took that scumbags out of here. They took those nasty, troublemaking Christians out of here. And I got a solution. And his name is Antichrist. And he's going to offer the solution. There's going to be 7 years. Tick, 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 tick. 7 years. That's it. Bible teaches that clearly, clearly. Somebody goes, I don't know if it teaches that. Study the Bible, dude. Just study the Bible. Be real. Don't be a phony. Don't be phony. You know what? Phonies are people that won't humble themselves. Their pride blocks their ability to believe. Pride blocks the ability to believe. I need to humble myself. God resists the proud. That's what Psalm says, or Proverbs says. God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. So the first thing I could do today is maybe you're new, and hopefully I'm not blowing you away. The airplane stuff's pretty cool. The sports stuff's pretty cool. But I don't want to blow you away. But the first thing you do as a Christian is you humble yourself. And you say, I can't save myself. I'm not good enough to save myself. I need a Savior. And at that point, your humility, in that humility, God comes to offer you salvation through the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. So the Holy Spirit comes and he offers you salvation through faith in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And so now you say, like we say at the end of our service, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. I believe that he died on the cross for me. I believe that he was raised again from the dead so that I could have eternal life. I receive eternal life. And now, by faith, by the promises of God in the Bible, I believe that I'm part of the family, or I'm part of the church, or I'm part of the body of Christ. Those are three names for the same thing. It's for the assembly. There's an assembly, and it's gonna happen, and there's going to be a party. There's going to be a party when we all get there, a celebration. But unfortunately, some people will think there's a party down here, but it ain't no party. It ain't going to be good. It's going to be 7 years of hell on earth. Nobody's seen anything like it. All right. Where's my clock at, Nance? Thank you. 11. Oh, right there, 11:25. All right, I got an extra minute. Thank you. All right. God is in control. All right. You must have on a headset to hear the controller. That just means you got to shut the world. You know, going back to the airplanes, they got the headset on because there's a lot of noise. I need to hear clearly, right? So we can do that. All right. So if we keep our heart tuned to the control tower, we can take off and land safely every time, even during rough weather, turbulence, unknown traffic, or a bumpy ride. Our controller will guide us to our destination safely without harm by giving us clear vectors to fly in. Vectors are instrumentation from the controller to a pilot defining a specific course or path. So that's what I'm going to talk to you about. That's what I am talking to you about. Specific course or path. Proverbs 4:18 again. The path of the just is a shining light that shines more and more unto the perfect day. What is the perfect day? The day of the Lord. I talked about that. All right, 2 Corinthians 1:14 says, even if you don't understand us now, then one day when the Lord returns, you will be proud of us in the same way we're proud of you. What does that mean? It just means that in that context, he said the Lord will return. 1 Thessalonians 5:4 says, but you're not in dark about these things. This isn't hidden knowledge. We want everybody to know. We want the whole world to know. It's not secret knowledge. No, it isn't. It's open. Just buy a Bible. Get one free at Helping Hands or something. But 1 Thessalonians 5, you aren't in the dark about these things, dear brothers and sisters. And you won't be surprised when the day of the Lord comes like a thief. What does that mean? It means that he's going to come in and out, boom. You know, Sorry, I got to tell you this. I kind of ran with the wrong crowd. And we got good at doing wrong things. And that was part of our kind of lifestyle for a while. And we got good at it. And you get in and out before anybody knew. And you'd maybe wake up the next day, where's my stuff? Somebody snuck in and out before you even knew it. I'm not proud of it, but the facts are the facts. And that's what happens with this enemy. We're not in the dark about these things. And you won't be surprised when that day of the Lord comes like a thief. Why would it sound like a thief? It's called the thief in the night. Because he sneaks in, boom, and he's out. He takes his people, and he's gone. And in that split second, that fraction of time, in that quark of time, it's over. That was the church. They're gone. It's over. 1 Thessalonians 5:4, you're not in the dark about these things, dear brothers and sisters, and you won't be surprised when the Lord comes as a thief. 2 Thessalonians 5:2, a couple of verses prior. For you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord comes as a thief in the night. He's not hiding the fact that he's sneaking in and sneaking out. He's not seeking. It's going to be obvious to all the Christians. 2 Peter 3:10 says, for the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise. Now, there's time, space between Peter seeing the whole picture, and he's jumping from one event to another event to another event, but there's time in between. In this case, the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. We just talked about it. And after that, the heavens will pass away with a great noise. The elements shall melt with a fervent heat, and the earth also and the works that are in shall be burned up. That's when God starts this whole thing over again, but we'll already be long gone. We'll be with him for eternity. But this earth is going to go through what the Apostle Peter said. You can mark it down because that is the word of God. Inspiration came to Peter, and that's what it is. Proverbs 4:18 says, the path of the just is as a shining light, I've said it three times, that shines more and more unto the perfect day, the day of the Lord. What day? The day of the Lord. The path of the just. What is the path of the just? Well, in Psalms, it says he leads us in the paths of righteousness. He's leading us in the paths of righteousness. I mean, he's not leading me over here to the clubs. He's not leading me to the porn house. He's not leading me to the crap on internet. He's not leading me there. God doesn't lead people to sin. Man, if you have a goofed up idea that you need to wash your brain right now with that idea. He's leading you in paths of righteousness. He's leading you to do what's right. He's leading you away from doing what's wrong. He's leading you away from sin. He's leading you into a pure relationship. He leads me in the paths of righteousness from Psalm 23:3. He restores my soul. Restoration of my brain. Somebody say, well, what do you mean by that? Well, you know, you can get really goofed up. There's many people that are goofed up. They're just goofed up. They've listened to lies and deception in the world for so long that I'm way over here and I'm goofed up. What am I going to do? I'm so goofed up. I make mistakes all the time. I don't know how to choose good things. You need to surrender. You need to yield. You need to allow God to help you, and he'll bring you back faster than you can imagine. You may think that there's no hope for me. I'm sick. I need pills. I need medicine. I need doctors. I need psychiatry. I need, God could fix it in 24 hours. He really doesn't even need 24 hours, but, you know, sometimes time passes, and pretty soon when you surrender to God, whoa, I got peace. My fear just left. I'm not afraid. What's my next step? Oh, fear. Oh, next step. Oh, no. God says, no, don't fear the next step. Just take the next step in Christ and believe and stay the course. Now you're a believer. Old things have passed away. All things are new. Is everything great? Is everything perfect? Is everything miraculous? Of course not. It's still life. It's still earth. It's still here. Until we leave here, The world is the world is the world. Life is life is life. But things change as you pursue God. Life changes for the better. Pretty soon, I'm shrugging off chains of bondage and chains of darkness and chains of things that I got to get out of my life. And you say, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Greater is he that is in me than he that's in the world. I now am living above and not beneath. I'm blessed in the city. I'm blessed in the field. I'm a Christian, and I can do this. I can't do it without Christ, but I can do this. Somebody say amen. 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 All right, so 23, what is all that I just said? 23:3, he restores my soul. When I'm over in the pit of despair or misery or I'm just so guilt-ridden or upset or turmoil or trouble, you know what? He restores my soul back to health. He brings me out of that miserable condition of just defeated and beat up, and he lifts me up. He puts a robe on, he puts a ring on my finger and a robe on my back. That's terminology for what happens when you come into the kingdom. And you know, it was terminology from the Bible. It doesn't mean that just when I accept Christ, all of a sudden I get a ring on my finger and a robe on my back, but you get a robe of righteousness. Okay, you get to put on a robe of righteousness, and that robe of righteousness is an eternal robe that you get to wear because you are part of the family. It's almost like a uniform. It's almost like the uniform. You got heaven's uniform, and you put that uniform on called a robe of righteousness. But he restores my soul. He leads me, 23:3, he leads me in the paths of righteousness for his own name's sake. Now God is leading my life in paths of righteousness. There are bumps still, and there are pains, turmoils, ickies, but he's leading me, and we're finding the path of the just gets brighter day by day. And pretty soon, I can see clearly now the rain is gone. Life is good. I have peace, joy, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. I've got fruit of the Spirit. I have evidence that I'm a Christian. Now I'm going to act like it. Now I'm going to live it. Now I'm going to tell my mom. I'm going to tell my dad. I'm going to tell my sister and brother. I'm going to tell my children. I'm going to tell my coworkers. I'm going to tell everybody what God did for my life. Takes a while. Takes a while to get up the courage to, if you came from an unsaved home and, you know, everybody's hellions, they're partiers, they do drugs, they do alcohol, they watch pornography, they do all the stuff the world does. And all of a sudden you come in there and you're different. And you know you're different. You got saved. I'm a Christian. The Bible says old things pass away. Well, they didn't pass away yet. And I'm going back home. And that stuff's still fun. What do I do? Having done all to stand, you stand. You make the choice that I'm going to stand against my old self. I'm going to walk in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Nobody's perfect. How many times did all of us fail? Most of you are Christians. Praise God that you are. But when you accepted Christ, did you right away the next day, were you a perfect saint? Man, we made trial and error mistakes so many times. At least I did. I mean, people like Pastor Nat, she's just naturally honorable, you know. But, you know, man, we made so many mistakes. And thank God he forgives. How many mistakes does God forgive? What's the number? 10,000 times 10,000? No, that's what's there's an, but he forgives us over and over again. There's no limit on forgiveness. And so I receive forgiveness over and over and repent. Here's something that I suggest to you. I learned this as a growing up in a Christian home. We were taught to repent. We had a good Baptist pastor, and pastor's wife was an excellent Bible teacher, and we were taught to repent. Repent for us meant you admit your sin. The Bible says, if I confess my sin, he's faithful and just to forgive me and cleanse me of all unrighteousness. So I admit my sin, and I do it out loud, okay? I'm not doing it out loud to you. I just get over here privately, and I say, Lord, I screwed up again. I did that again. I repent. I ask you to forgive me. I ask you to cleanse me of unrighteousness. Boom! Boom! Restored, cleansed, washed. The blood of Jesus is powerful enough if I went there 1,000 times a day. If I went there and I said, Lord, I don't want to do that over and over and over. I don't want to keep making mistakes. I want to grow up into Christ. I want to change. I want to be fruitful. I want to get to the place where I might even be able to share my faith. And I want to know Scripture. I'm washed in the blood of Jesus, and I want to live it. And so I encourage somebody that, you know, we learned repentance and forgiveness. If I confess my sin, he's faithful and just to forgive me. Do I just think it? I say it. I take myself and I spiritually bow my knee. I can't always bow my knee wherever I'm at, but I bow my knees in my heart. And I say, Lord, I did it again. I missed it. Lord, I made a mistake again. Lord, I made wrong choice again. Lord, I did whatever. And I say, please forgive me. And I thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. And I do it, and I do it, and I do it, and I do it. And I've been a Christian for 40 years, maybe 50 years now, and I still do it daily. I still ask Jesus to forgive me. I still ask God for forgiveness. I still go to him. I still, if we confess with our mouth and believe in our heart. So I confess with my mouth, Lord, you saved me. You washed me. You forgive me. And with my heart, I believe that I receive. And now I'm restored. And I can stand up here and preach to you, even though I make mistakes. Even though sometimes I'd rather watch hockey than study my Bible. I make choices. You make choices. We all make choices. The point is that forgiveness is absolute if you'll ask for it. And so again, I'm going to tell you what I do. And it works, it works, it works, it works, it works. I confess my sin. Lord, Lord, you don't have to yell, but if you want to, and you're at home or whatever, Lord, I missed it again. And then I admit my sin. And I said, but Lord, you're faithful and just to forgive me and cleanse me of all unrighteousness. I receive it now in Jesus' name. And I can stand right up right then and go back to being a sold out, on fire Christian. That quickly I can do it. Yeah, sometimes my conscience bothers me, and I'm going, man, what were you doing? What were you thinking? What? Why? But yet, no, I'm going to go back in the path of righteousness. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his own name's sake. Can someone say amen to that? All right, so he restores my soul. All right, choosing life. That's another one. Now that I've got eternal life, my carnality needs to be surrendered to choose life in everything I do. I'm going to make choices that are different than my old choices, because logic used to say, well, this may be logical, this is more logical, but no, I'm going to choose what God wants me to do in my life. I'm going to make those choices. It's not an easy thing to do. All right, here, let's go to this in choosing life. We'll close with this in a moment here. Joshua 24:15. In the book of Joshua, God called on the children of Israel to make their own choices. And this choice is, if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord. That's an interesting way to say that. Because there are some people that go, I want to be a Christian, but it seems evil to serve the Lord, to be a conservative or a sold out Christian, or to choose to reject sin. They go, hey, just because I'm a Christian doesn't mean I have to reject sin. I don't know what Bible you're reading. I don't know what God you're serving. I don't know what it means to you. But so Joshua 24:15, if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose this day who you're going to serve. Make your choice, but make a quality decision and then stick to the decision. And if you really believe what the choice you made, then let your life show it. Be a doer of the word and not just a hearer only. Don't be a phony. Are you calling me a phony? I don't know anything about any of you except her. And I said, I know she's not a phony. So choose this day who you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites, or all the stuff of what we came out of Egypt, the false gods and all the stuff that goes with it. And you could figure it out just by letting your mind wander a little bit. The gods in whose land we dwelt, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Serving the Lord is a choice of accepting or rejecting. Do I accept him? And if I accept him, do I still get to be in the world? You live in the world, but you can't, you got to all of a sudden start making new choices. It doesn't happen overnight. It's not perfect, but we start to say no. My choices change. I go, no, I don't think that's righteous. I don't think that's living right. I don't think that's holy. I don't think that's would please God. That's the key. What pleases God? Do you care to please God? Christians should care to please God. I want my life to please God. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Serving the Lord is a choice of accepting or rejecting him. Now in the New Testament, every human on earth is called to make their own choice for God or against him. It's yes or no, on or off, black and white. It's not a very complicated question. Do not complicate the question. Do you choose God or do you choose against him? I tell you what, decision making amongst people would bring this amazing amount of confusion, because you go, well, you're a Christian and you're a Christian and you made that choice and you made that choice. I'm not judging your choices, but I sure wouldn't make those choices. What, are you more righteous than me? No, but it's pretty obvious that that's not a choice for God. That's not a choice for God. That's not a choice for God. And that for sure ain't a choice for God. I'm going to make choices now. My choice. Whom will you serve? As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. I'm going to bow my knees to the God and Father of the Lord Jesus Christ, in whom the whole family in heaven's name. And at his name, every knee will bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. I believe that. I'm going to do that. I'm going to turn myself in that direction. That's extreme. But sometimes you got to be extreme. You got to be extremely different and extremely diligent. And sometimes it's just got to take yourself by the nape, more than doing this, right? Would be the nape of the neck, right? I'm going to take myself in the right direction. It's called choices, friends. It's called choices. Do the choices you make reflect what's going on in your heart? That's what it's all about. We come to church. We're not beating. If I was beating on you today, please don't think I'm beating on you. I'm just trying to encourage somebody to step up, to take their place in the body of Christ, to old things have passed away. All things are new. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Greater is he that's in me than he is the world. I'm a doer of the word and not a hearer only. I seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. These are scriptures that I put in my heart to help me to be strong when the temptations come. Temptations like are common to everyone. We just have to say no and resist. And so I encourage somebody today that's heard me to choose. Just like they did in the Old Testament, choose you this day who you are serving, who you will serve. Because the world has to come out of false gods. If you're serving the true God, there's only one true God that we relate to. It's Jesus Christ. And once we receive Jesus Christ, we honor the Father that's on his throne and the Holy Spirit that is sent to us. So we honor the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And then, lastly today, we believe the Bible. You have no knowledge of God without the Word. I'll debate that till Jesus comes back. You have not knowledge of God till you start understanding what the Bible says, because you are just telling me what you think. And frankly, there's an opinion everywhere. Everybody's got an opinion. And frankly, no offense, but your opinion's worthless in comparison to the truth. The truth matters more than any opinion. And so I have to, that's the biggest pride factor of my surrender, is I have to let go of my opinion and choose God's opinion over my opinion and agree with God's opinion. And when you agree with God's opinion, that means you're saved. And here's how we do it. You're gonna agree with this prayer that I'm gonna present to you right now. I'm gonna ask the church people that I've said it 1,000 times to say it again, just in case we may have someone here watching that needs to say it for the first time or needs to say it again because they got off. Let's say it. Dear God in heaven, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God.
I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God.
I believe that he died on the cross for me. And was raised again from the dead so that I could have eternal life. Jesus, come into my heart. This is the personal part here. Jesus, come into my heart. Be my Savior and be my Lord. I ask you to forgive me of my sin. I receive your forgiveness now. And I receive eternal life. And I thank and praise you for it. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Humility, right?
Ooh.
Humility.
Is that mine?
The fear of the Lord. It's the beginning of wisdom. We all need wisdom. Wisdom to make good choices. Wisdom to do what we need to do. And when you know you're right with God, that helps you to stand strong in the face of temptation, people that want to pull you back. There is a cost to your Christianity. There is a cost to live sold out. Because not everybody wants to. Not everybody wants to. But I'd rather live sold out and live in the peace of God that passes all understanding than anything else. There is no price for the peace of God. There's no price for the freedom that comes from living for him and making those right choices. And I say it, God, I choose you. I choose life today. I reject death and I reject cursing. It's a lot better to live in the goodness of God, his favor, his mercy, his grace, which I'm so thankful for, than to just live with the consequences of sin, doing my own thing. The Bible says that sin is pleasurable for an instant, but it's not. It's not for eternal. But the peace of God, that's always. That's always. Choose humility, choose the fear of the Lord, choose the word, Be a doer of his word, like Pastor said. And life will be better for you. The room is full of people that their lives have improved because they've been diligent to take that right path. It's worth it. It's worth it. But everybody's got to figure that out. We all have to figure that out. A lot of the blessings that have come into my life, I didn't realize how profound they would be until I surrendered. I had to surrender first. And then I got a taste of the blessing. If I was God, I'd just be like, here, here's a taste of the blessing. And then all you have to do is just live in it. But I think God knows us all too well to know that we'd just take advantage of it and we wouldn't do it. And that wouldn't really be surrender. It's not putting your pride down if it's easy. Putting your pride down, that can be a challenge pretty much across the board for everybody. But when you realize that God is God and you're not, then life really can start right there. And that's our heart for you, is that every single one of us every day will grow more and more and more in him, surrender more and more and more in him, so that we can walk in the things that he has for us. And not just for us, but for the people that we encounter. When you surrender, all of a sudden God can trust you with his power. Power to pray. Power to step out and see others, their lives changed. And that's really where the blessings of God are. So we'll go ahead and close the service, and we always receive the offering at the end of the service. It's kind of like when you go out to eat, you know, you get your food first and all those different things, except I suppose if you go to fast food. But in my opinion, no offense to anybody who loves fast food, it's not food. It's just a lot of chemicals and stuff that's probably not good for you. But whatever, you can have those chemicals if you want. But if you go to a nice restaurant, you're fed first. And we don't ever send anybody a bill. Pastor Steve and I have no idea who gives or doesn't give, and we don't want to, and we don't care. Because this is God's church. It's his house. It's whatever he wants to do. We're blessed to be here. We're the stewards. But I learned as a Christian a long time ago, it occurred to me that I've been saved for 40 years, and I didn't even think I was old enough in my own head to be saved for 40 years, but I've always given. You can't outgive God. Jesus said, give and it'll be given to you. Pressed down, good measure, shaken together, and running over will men give unto your bosom. I heard about giving and receiving. I thought, that sounds like a pretty good plan, actually, that God will multiply our resources sown, and he'll make sure that he gives us bread for food, but then also multiply that seed back to us so that we can continue the process. And so there's so many scriptures about giving, and all I did was learn those scriptures and the blessings that come along with it, and I'm like, I want in on that plan. I want in on everything that God has, and that just includes being faithful in giving. That's how it's done. And so we'll receive the offering, and it's between you and God. But just know that as you're faithful, God's faithful back. And he's more faithful than we are. Father, thank you so much for the opportunity to give and to sow into your kingdom. We purpose to use the gifts, the tithes, the offerings that come into this church to further your work and to further your kingdom. We honor you now with our gifts in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, our ushers can receive the offering. We do not have our ladies group this month. Next Saturday, so the third Saturday, May 16th, will be Revelation class. That's at 9 a.m. And then the following Sunday, Memorial weekend's a little goofy this year. It's actually on Sunday the 24th. We're going to have lunch after church. And Pastor mentioned yesterday, handful of us came in after the men's group, and we cleaned up the side loading dock area so we can have some tables outside as well as inside. And so we'll figure out what we're going to do for lunch, but it'll be good. Sunday, the 24th after service, you are welcome for that. There are various dips in the fridge. I know it sounds kind of funny, but there's pub cheese and there's French onion dip. So in the fridge, in this kitchen, back by the bathrooms, there's a bunch of dips. And if you would like some, if you're kind of one of those people who likes dips, well, then help yourself and take them home so we don't have to throw them out. And hopefully the food that was put out, we're blessed to be able to get things donated to us, and we're able to put it out every Sunday. And we want people to take it, whether you, need a little extra help or not, doesn't matter, because the food's there, it has to be taken, and otherwise we have to get rid of it. So please help yourself if you would like that. A couple of just testimonies. So John goes up to St. Cloud Prison every other Wednesday night, and the last time he was there, they had 26 men that had come to the service on a Wednesday night, and 15 of them, let's see, out of 27 guys, 5 got saved, 16 rededicated, and 15 got filled with the Holy Spirit. That's called revival in prison. And you know, there's a lot of people that talk about, you know, the coming glory of God and the coming harvest. But then you also see in Scripture the great falling away of Christians in the last days. And it really can happen. It can be both at the same time. The people that know they need a physician, they're coming into the kingdom. Those that have been beaten up and bruised in life, they're coming into the kingdom. People that take their faith for granted, it's harder and harder. If you're half in and half out, like Pastor Steve was talking, harder and harder for you to even realize that you're lukewarm and you don't even know it. And so we don't want to be lukewarm. We want to rejoice in those testimonies. So, all right, grab the dips. Have a great, wonderful day. And we will see you Wednesday night for church, Sunday next week.